I want you to go over to Genesis 29. Go to Genesis 29, and I'm just going to try to bring this together. This is where I'm reading in Genesis right now. And so this morning, very early as I was reading, I got this word, and I think that it's very prophetic. No, I know it is for us, and if you'll weigh it out, because we have to be careful when we hear the pastor or evangelist or TV evangelist that we know are hearing from God. When they give us a word, that we don't say, oh, well, we just mistake the word of God for the voice of a woman or the voice of a man. You can't do that because it might leave you out. Now, Steve Hill, the great evangelist of the Brownsville Revival, that revival started on Father's Day. Was that 94? 90, I think, 94? No, the church started in 96, so maybe we were there in 96 or 97. So I'm thinking, anyway, you know what? We went all the way there, but when revival hits, it's never about the pastor or the speaker. We went, listen, I did not even know who the evangelist was. I didn't know who the pastor was there. All we knew is the glory of God had hit, and we wanted to go. And so, anyway, the story goes, we weren't there when it first started, but we got to go twice. And Steve Hill got up on that dry Sunday morning service. It was very dry. It was just a cold, big old Assembly of God service. And so Steve Hill had been an evangelist to Argentina. So Steve comes in. The pastor had brought him to have a revival. And usually when you hear it's a missionary, you're like, oh, no, a missionary. They're always the most boring. Well, anyway, here came Steve. And so he said to the people, I was out watering my yard yesterday. I was just watering the yard. And he said, the Lord spoke to me. And the Lord said, whoever is thirsty, if you will believe the word I'm giving you right now, to all who are thirsty, the Lord said, I'm just going to pour water on you today. Okay, so I don't know if anyone believed it. But anyway, he said, I was watering the yard, and God says, to those that are thirsty, if they will believe it, I will pour the water of heaven upon them. Well, you know, it's a regular service. They went through song service. They went through the preaching. And I took the offering. Everything was as usual. They get to the end, and Steve Hill gives the altar call. Well, nobody came, and he gave it again. If you know Steve Hill, he doesn't stop. And so he gave another altar call. He kept calling. Finally, this old man, he was an older man, very weak, and he kind of hobbled up with a cane, and he came up, and he stood before Steve and the pastor, and they just prayed over him, and he hit the floor. And then a young blonde, maybe 25 years old, she walks up over here, all by herself over here, and she walks up, and there's just two now in the altar. And they prayed for her, and she stood there and just cried with her arms up, just crying. And suddenly, the pastor, John Kilpatrick, he comes down off his chair. He's going to walk down here and pray with that girl. And when he comes down, I can't remember how that went. I think he fell right here on the step, like first or second step. And he fell back over on the platform. And when he did, he didn't get up. And then people just started coming to the front. Well, he couldn't get up. And he lay there until like 4 in the afternoon. And so it was Father's Day, and they were all going to lunch. Well, when this all started happening, who cares about lunch? Well, that was the beginning of a 7-year revival. And so that was a most amazing thing. But I want to say, when you hear God speak to you, you must always have a journal by your Bible. When you're praying in the morning, when you're praying or you're reading your Bible, have a journal so you can just write down what you feel like the Lord said to you. And even in the middle of the night, there's times where I'll just get up and write it down. Sometimes it's to me, sometimes it's for us, sometimes it's a sermon. But that's kind of the way it was this morning. And so I'm just going to share this with you. Some of it you have heard, but I just want you to hear what thus saith the Lord. Let me take you to, I won't go over to John, but you all know the story in John where it says there was the pool of Bethesda. Remember, it was called the sheep pool at the sheep's gate, a sheep gate. And there was a bunch of impotent people laying around a pool, the old King James says. They were just weak. They were in paralysis, and they were weak. And you guys want to look it up. I see some of you looking at your Bible, so let us go over there. We'll see it. I'm just going to save some time, but if you're reading, I'll read it with you. So they were over there, and there was all kinds of sick people, paralyzed people, get over there. Chapter 5, John chapter 5. Go ahead and put it up. After this, it was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, remember this part. Now, there was at Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool. Now, circle that. It was a pool, which was called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. Five is the meaning of grace. In these lay a great multitude of sick people. They were blind, lame, paralyzed, doing what? Waiting for the moving of the water. Now, Jesus walks by. This one little old man had been there. He had this infirmity for 38 years. And he tells Jesus, he says, you know, I really want to be put in that water, but every time the angel comes down to stir up the water, somebody gets in it before me. So we have all these excuses why things didn't happen. And Jesus says, well, what do you want me to, he says, do you want to be made well? What a question to ask a man that's been sick for 38 years. Do you want to be made well? And the sick man says, I have no man to put me into the water, right, into the pool. When the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. And Jesus says, well, rise up, take up your bed and walk. So here you've got all these people, and it's, you know, I'm not going to preach this. This has been preached a million times over, upside down, sideways, in every way. But I'll say this about verse 3. There were sick people there like there is today. There were blind people that have no vision, don't know where I'm going headed, just no vision. Some have a vision, but you're like, oh, I'm not sure what it is. Okay, and then the lame or the crippled, the paralyzed, whether it be emotionally, with fear, all these other things going on, just waiting and waiting for the moving of the water, waiting. And I want to tell you, remember that word waiting, because the body of Christ is in waiting right now. We are in waiting. Now, I know the angel came and stirred it, came and stirred the water. And over the years, you know, some of us have been in this a long time, and we remember. Now, you could talk to Portia or maybe even Peggy, and they'll tell you their relatives remembered going to Azusa Street, or maybe not Azusa, but going to Amy Simple McPherson's church. And so there have always been the stirring of the waters where the angels would come down and stir up a revival, and or fire would fall from heaven. You know, in Texas, there was in Houston, some of you remember this story. And this I heard on the cassette tape. It was absolutely amazing. And I think it's where Steve Hill went there. And so he and the pastor were sitting on the platform. It was a regular service. And doesn't mean that's the way it's going to happen here. It may never happen like that again. It hasn't happened since to anywhere I know. But all of a sudden, everybody's just sitting in their seats, and the music had just stopped, or the worship had stopped, and the pastor was going to go up and receive the offering. But there was this sound. They said it sounded like an airplane had, like, flown into the top of the roof. There was just this horrible, oh, you know, really loud sound, and like a crash, and all of a sudden, the pastor was going to go up to the platform, and he says, Steve says, Or he says to Steve, the evangelist, do you want to go up there? Do you have anything you'd like to say? And he says, oh, no, I don't have anything to say. And pastor says, well, I don't either. And evangelist Steve Heal says, I don't know, brother. I just kind of feel if we walked up there, we might die. And the presence of the Lord is so real. And so pastor said, that's just how I feel. I'm afraid. You know, it was a fear of God. And the people just start falling out of their seats. Some would ran to the front and got on their faces and started crying out. And you heard these moanings and groanings. And you all remember Mike Campagna, the guy from Boston that had that accent? Well, he was about half saved until he got that tape. And he drove heavy equipment. He was a heavy equipment operator. And that day he was having lunch with one of the men. And he said, Steve, I want you to hear this tape. Michael, I want you to hear this tape. And they heard those groanings. And what happened is finally the pastor walked up to the pulpit. And he was just going to say, folks, get into this. It's the glory of God. Just get into it. And he grabs the podium like this. And it was about the size of our other one, the big one that's usually up here, the big one. And it was plexiglass. And this is what happened that day. That plexiglass split right half in two. Half of it went that way. Half went the other way. And the glory of God threw that pastor back about 20 feet on the platform and didn't even hurt him. And everybody is moaning and groaning. And I'm telling you, I think I still have that tape. I was looking for it the other day and couldn't find it. But if I find it, believe me, we'll find a way to listen to it. So there have been the stirring up of the waters over the years, and nobody knows why it happens at all, and we don't know why it happens, it doesn't happen more than it does. Why don't we have more Azusas? Why don't we have more Pensacolas and Kansas City and those places? Kansas City was just a place that it was called the cornfields of Missouri, the cornfields, and the pastor was dried up, he was burnt out, and he heard there was revival in Pensacola, and he went to the Pensacola in revival in Pensacola, and he was so dried up, he said, I got there, and I thought, I'm just going to rest. I don't even want to go out there. I don't want to hear anything. I've heard it all, seen it all, been in church my whole life. I don't want anything. And so he stayed in his room the first day, the second day, and the maid came to clean the room, and he said, he threw something at the door and said, get out of here. I mean, he's really messed up. And so the next morning, he decides to go to the morning meetings. And he went, and God touched him, and that night he touched him, and the next night. Well, when he went home, he flew in, he went back to that little church. He could only seat about, if it's 100 people, that was a lot. And he walked back into that church through the back door. And when he walked in, the glory hit him. And he just jumped and started yelling. He just started jumping and dancing and praising God. Well, the whole church jumped and praised God because they knew he was in trouble. And so the glory of God hit. Well, guess what happened? That church grew so fast. It grew over 500 people. They were just flowing out the door. There was no place to put them. That little town had nothing more than a little service station with a Coke machine and a little place where you could buy stamps, which they call the post office. And it hit there. And then the town didn't like them having that much traffic, so they chased them out and sent them out. And so they found a place up in Independence, Kansas, which I went up there and flew to see them because we had Steve and Kathy Gray here at the church, but I wanted to go see what that was about. And so they had to move. And do you know that entire church went with them? They all moved up there in that revival. I haven't heard lately whether it's still going, but I know there's a big result from that. So I know that the water was stirred over the years at different places. And it comes and it goes. And then we all of us, as the body of Christ, we're waiting for the stirring of the water again. We feel like we're waiting for revival. We're waiting for the glory. But I heard the Lord this morning begin to speak to me in a very special portion of scripture here in, go back to Genesis 29. Now, you know, in this chapter, Jacob was running from his brother. I don't blame him. I'd run too if I stole his birthright. But anyway, God spoke to him. And so I know you're very familiar with these two verses. But if you got your Bible, Gabby, back that up to chapter 28. Genesis 28. Look down at verse 15. Okay, he's out there hiding, he's sleeping, he's got his head on a rock, he's all by himself, and he's knowing his brother's up ahead, not knowing what's ahead. Genesis 28:15. Behold, God speaking, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. So somebody needs to take that home with you tonight. Keep that in your heart. That's for you. That's for me. Now I'm with you. I'm going to keep you wherever you go. I'll bring you back to your land. I won't leave you until I've done everything I told you I was going to do. You can trust him. Verse 16. And then Jacob awoke from his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. I was in fear, I was running, I was afraid, but look at this, God is in this place, and I didn't know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? Well, this is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And I can't tell you guys how many times, and I don't think we need people to tell us this. I think we know it. I've had preachers from John Kilpatrick to Steve Hill. We've had them here. And Lyndall Cooley and Rodney Howard Brown. We've had some of the very best in this house. And I can tell you almost every one of us, them, told me personally and told us right out here in front of everybody, there's a portal open over this house. There's a gate opened over this house. And I tell the Lord all the time, I said, Lord, you know that I'm hungry for you. But there's a whole church, a whole group of people. We're not really big. There was only 120 in the upper room. And it doesn't matter whether it's a lot or little. It can come to a mega church. But Lord, I know about these people. They're hungry. From Danny back there in the corner to Kenny, who doesn't know a lot about revival, but he's hungry. Now he's gotten more hungry since he's been here. That's what drew you two in. Due to it. Not quite sure, Stephen, but I believe God's stirring a hunger. Lynn and I mean, I don't even have to call all your names, but I know you're all hungry. And he knows that. And he knows it. And so I want you to know tonight that he is in this house. And sometimes we know it not. We take it for granted. He's in this house. Well, I know, but it wasn't a dynamite service. I don't care. I don't care. It's not in a dynamite service. When he comes in, he doesn't need us to do anything. We just keep doing what we're doing. In the upper room, it says that he came on them where they were sitting, just like you. You're just sitting there, and the tongues of fire, the greatest revival in the entire world for every generation, happened there. And the Holy Ghost came in the form of tongues and set up on every one of them where they were sitting. Revival in Pensacola with no altar call, no people in the altar. This one old man and one young blonde. See, we get our mindsets. But I want you to remember tonight, he's in this house. And sometimes we don't know it, but that's okay. We just have to activate our faith again and know that he is with us. All right, let's go somewhere else. Now let's go chapter 29, verse 1. Okay, so Jacob's all jazzed now. You know how you get when you're praying and you're reading your Bible, all of a sudden something just jumps off the page and it gets in your heart. You're like, oh man, I got it. And I can do this. And you feel really good, man. You just get up and you can run through a troop, leap over a wall. Well, that's Jacob. Okay, he's heard from God. God says, I'm with you. Don't worry about the brother. It's all going to be all right. And I'm going to take care of you. Okay, so he just got up. Chapter 29, verse 1. So Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east. And here we go. This is how I'm going to tie this together with what we just read in John. Okay, so he looked and I'm not tying it together, but the Holy Spirit is. I heard him do this. And he looked and saw a well. Where was it? Right in the middle of the field. And behold, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well, they watered the flocks. The large stone was on the well's mouth. Now, when you read that in the Old King James, it says there were three flocks of sheep lying by it, just waiting to be watered. They knew the water was down in that well. And so these sheep gathered over there, and they were lying all around the well. And the Holy Spirit took me back to John, said, and so were all those people. They had gathered around the water. Gathered around the watering hole. In John, it's a pool. Here, it's a well. So there the sheep are there because they know the water's there. But there's a large stone over the well's mouth. Verse 3. Now, all the flocks would be gathered there. And they would roll the stone from the well's mouth to water the sheep. And then they'd put the stone back in its place on the well's mouth. So we've seen these waters. Jesus said, if any of you thirst, John chapter 7, about verse 37, if any of you thirst, come and drink from me. And then he said, out of your bellies would flow rivers of living water. And this, it says, he spake of the Holy Ghost, but he couldn't really because the Holy Ghost had not yet come. Okay, so he's prophesying. Even Jesus said, when he comes on you, living waters, stream, rivers of living water will flow out of your belly. Okay, it hadn't happened yet. So Jesus is prophesying this is going to happen, but it hasn't happened yet. But when he comes, rivers of living water will flow out of your belly. Not for you, because we have this well springing up within us. That's for us. That's for our everlasting life. That's how we get through life. That's how we go through every day. But the rivers of living water, that's for the other people around us to pour out on them. Okay, so these sheep, three flocks, but they couldn't open that well until all the other shepherds got there with the sheep. So they all had to get there before they could open it up again. And I heard Jesus saying, I don't want to do that like that now. I don't want you just to have little times where the stone is rolled away and you get some water and then it's covered up again. Then you get another little drink over here and another over there and another in that state and another at Asbury and another over there. No. And I'm going to take this for us tonight. I don't know, there's just a few. I don't care. But he said, the flocks were all gathered there. They'll put the stone back in its place on the well's mouth. Verse 4, Jacob said to them, my brethren, where are you from? And he's asking them this for a purpose. Where are you from? And they said, oh, we're from Haran. And then he said to them, do you know Laban? That's his uncle, his mother's brother. Do you know Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, oh, we know him. And he said to them, he is well. The So they said to him, yeah, he's well. And they said, he is well, and look, his daughter Rachel's coming with the sheep. Why? Because she was a shepherdess. Now here she comes with her sheep. And so look what Jacob says to them in verse 7. Then he said, look, it's still high day. It is not time for the cattle to be gathered together. Water the sheep and go feed them. But look what they said. But they said, we can't until all the flocks are gathered together. And they have rolled the stone from the well's mouth. Then we will water the sheep. But we have to wait until they all get here. But I believe the Holy Spirit has told me tonight to tell us, I'm not waiting on everybody to get here. I'll start with those who are hungry and welcome me to come. I will open, I will move the stone away. When that stone was moved away from the Lord Jesus' grave, what happened? He was resurrected. Something is getting ready to happen in the church. Jesus said it will. I'm telling you, it will, just like our Jesus said. And so he says that we can't, verse 8, we cannot until all the flocks are gathered together and they have rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and then we'll water the sheep. Verse 9. Now while he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. And it came to pass when Laban saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother. Now remember, he falls in love with her and marries her after he has to marry her sister first. But it's Rachel he loves. But it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Jacob did not wait. He said, I know it's time. Remember, God announces to us, our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and who? Jacob. Was his name, Jacob meaning trickster, his name was changed to Prince with God. Prince with God. It was a type of Jesus. Jacob, a shadow of Jesus, a type of Jesus. We see the scenario right here that Jesus rolls the stone. Jacob rolls the stone away from the mouth of the water and he fed the flock, or he watered the flock. And I am so excited in my spirit tonight to tell you that I hear our Jacob, our Israel, our Jesus telling us, let me roll that stone away from the water, but you've got to get to the watering hole. You stay close to me. You stay close and you realize when I'm in the house, when I'm in your house, when I'm in your car, when I'm close to you. Always know when you're close to him. Because he says, when you do that, I pull back that stone. And church, I declare to you, Linda, I believe you hear me tonight in your spirit. I believe you're hearing me. That our Jesus is getting to walk in, get ready to walk into his place wherever he wants. Whatever time he wants. And if it's next year or 5 years from now or in the morning or tonight, it will be worth waiting on. I don't care how long it takes. I'll wait. I hope I just live to get to see it. But I believe it's sooner than we think. I'm telling you, I melted this morning when I got this word. Because he said, I've seen the stirring of the water. I've seen it just like I did there in John. I know I just touched that one blind man. I know it was just him. But now it's going to be all of you. that are sitting near the watering hole. How many's near the watering hole tonight? Come on, I'm just going to say, let's just come to the watering hole tonight, get close to him, and do not let anything hinder. And if we have a hindering stone over the well, over the mouth of the well, and there's so many things that you and I deal with during the week that mess with us, wear us out, you know, just trying to get to school going. I told these guys today, I said, you guys got to be so patient with me. And just the things that we do. But you know what? Jesus sees all that. But he said, you stay close to the watering hole, even when you're stressed or whatever you're doing, and you'll see it. You'll see him move it. You'll see that water begin to flow. And it won't be a little trickle this time. It won't stop and start. Now I'm going to tell you one more thing before we pray. It was 1986. Now, 87 is right after Rick and Jamie died. And Bob and Velma Morrow drove Sarah and I to Dallas, Texas, to a Moore Cirillo crusade. And I'm telling you, the glory of God was there. And if you've ever been in one of Moore Cirillo services, you know it's just sweet and it's just the most different thing ever. And that night, I was awakened in the middle of the night. And here's what the Lord spoke to me. And I haven't told many people. I doubt that I've even told you all. I may have told one or two of you personally. Because people usually, sometimes they believe what you're saying, other times they don't. Sometimes you just need to pull away from that and say it anyway. But he said, the last day work will be like this. I'll move through the young people, and I will move through the women, and I will move through the black people. And you can see he spent the last probably two decades moving through those people. And it's quiet again. And the men, you've kind of always had the honor. You were the glory of God. But he said, no, it's not that anymore. It's everybody. And it went like that for 2 years. I mean, he's still moving on the youth again now. And the women and the blacks. But he said, I'm going to tell you, in this last day harvest, when I pour out of my spirit, this harvest will be so ripe and it will hit so fast. The harvest will be so good and so ripe that you'll have to get the wheat into the barn before it spoils. It's just like we have orange trees around here, and we realize the orange farmers, orange ranchers, whatever you call them, the orange ranchers realize that when the oranges are ripe, they've got to get them off the tree or they'll fall to the fruit will fall to the ground and rot. Okay, so he says the fruit will be quick. And we'll all be a part of bringing it into the barn. And I don't think it's a coincidence that we built a barn. It's okay. It'll hold whoever he sends us. But he said, bring the wheat into the barn, and the work will be so quick, it won't last over 3 years. It'll only last 3 years, and after that will be the harvest. 3 years, and then, excuse me, that will be the harvest, but 3 years, and then the coming of the Lord. He said, because the harvest will be so great, the outpouring so great, I will not lose another reformation or outpouring like we've lost over the years. The upper room lasted about 200 years, which was a long time. The upper room, about 200 years. Argentina, the longest lasting revival ever of our decade, and that was 15 years. Pensacola, 7 years. I mean, you can name them. Even Azusa was only lasted 2 years. But see, we're still on this side of it. And I'm happy about that. But the Lord said, it's just about time. Hold fast. Hold on. Because this move will not dissipate like Azusa, like Pensacola, like Kansas. Like the upper room, though we are a product of the upper room because Catholicism moved in. But he said, this will be the last move. And when it happens, then it'll be the coming of the Lord. It won't be another move. It won't be, down the road there'll be another revival. No, that's not the way it's going to be. After we get this harvest in, and you'll know, because he will bring people in front of you to minister to, and they will be so ripe and so hungry, you'll just pull them in because those, listen, let me tell you what's going to happen right now. You're going to start feeling those rivers of living water just pouring out of you. Even you, Gwen, you're a good little Baptist, honey, but that's over, I think. And so those rivers, you won't even know it. You won't even know what to say. You won't even know it, but he has just the right people to bring before you because of your personality, because of the things you've been through. Look at tonight. We had certain people we could call up here that had cancer to pray over that. So he'll put certain people right in your path, and you'll be so ready, and you'll get that fruit off the tree before they fly away, just rot out, or commit suicide, or whatever they could do. And after that, the coming of the Lord. How many is ready to get to that watering hole? Does anyone believe it with me tonight? Did you receive what I gave you? Father, we thank you for this word. I thank you. Jesus, you know how hungry we are. And yet you also know about the ones laying around a pool, weak, paralyzed, lame, halt, not hungry for the things of God. But she said, I know how to do that. I know how to take care of that. So, Father, we praise you for what you're about to do. Our faith is in you, Lord. Our faith is in you. We don't have our faith in me. Don't have our faith in the church. Our faith isn't in anyone or anything, but it's in you, Lord, because you're the only one that has the power to release, the power of healing, the power of your glory, the power of deliverance, to see people delivered and chains broken and ropes broken. And Lord, years of family curses and bondages, you're the only one that can save and heal and deliver. Come on, stand with me, church. Come on, lift your hands and let's just thank him. Come on, just give him praise. Hallelujah. We don't need any music to praise him. We don't need any music to praise him. Lord, I pray you will water us. You water us. You take the stone off the well. Oh, they just kept covering up Father Abraham's wells. They just kept covering them up. They covered them up. Isaac uncovered them. He uncovered. By the time you get here, to his grandson or to his son. Oh, they're putting a stone over the door. Oh, no. No, over the years, they've tried everything to cover up those revival wells. They covered up Azusa. They covered up every one of them that I mentioned tonight. The Billy Sundays, the 50s. The open well of revival that came in the 50s and the 60s, the hippie movement, Jesus movement. The renewal of the 80s, the fires of the 90s. And now, Lord, just now, there's a baptism of baptism. But, Father, we call more. More, Lord. But this time, there won't be. There won't be. Hallelujah. Dirt put in the wells. They won't be able to cover them up with dirt. They won't be able to. They won't even be able to put a stone over it because you said, I'm moving the stone away. And I'll let the water out. I will water you. I will water you. Come on, just lift your hand. Say, Lord, water me. I'll take it. Lord, we'll take the water. Landmark will take the water. These sweet people here tonight and those that are at home, many of them, very, very hungry for you, waiting by the watering hole. But, Lord, you are it. You're the water. You're the water. You told the man, no, you don't need anything else. You came to me. I'm the water. So, Lord, we glorify you. We thank you, Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord, we have felt your presence in this place tonight. And we know it's you. We know it is you. Sweet Jesus. Sweet Jesus. Hallelujah. Touch our sweet Barbara tonight too, Lord, in her back. After that back surgery. Oh, bring healing into her back. Thank you for taking her home this week, Lord. We give you praise. Oh, I ask you, Lord, to bless and keep your sweet people. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Cause his face to shine upon you, turn his face toward you and give you peace. May he be gracious to you, turn his countenance toward you all. And may he remove the stone and water you and water everybody around you in Jesus' name. Amen.